Good morning. Good to see each of you that are here. Between spring break and other things, it's good that you are here. Hopefully there are many more who are joining us online from wherever they might be. But it's happy to have you here. You've made a wonderful decision to come and worship the Lord. Do you want to be loved? I think we all would say, yes, I want to be loved. Loved by our friends, even more by our family. But most of all, we want to be loved by God. And that is one thing that we are. We are loved by God, and that should have a lasting effect on us. As we begin our worship, I want us to look at 1 John chapter 3. Here John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children. Now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we shall know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." For all the things that God has done for us, for all the love that he has shown, he says, see what kind of love, love beyond anything that we can truly understand. Because of that, we worship him with grateful hearts. Let's begin worship in song.
If you would, please, let's stand for the singing of the first song.
Stand beyond the promises of Christ my King. Thank you.
Be seated. Before our opening prayer, the battle belongs to the Lord. In
heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we say glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father in heaven, we bow before your throne of majesty and grace, proclaiming, Father, that you are the Almighty, the wonderful, the everlasting, the perfect God in heaven. Father, we come before you as children of yours. So thankful, Father, to be called children of yours. Father, truly we are children in need of your guidance. We do thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to you in prayer, when we have things on our heart and things that are troubling us. We're thankful, Father, that we can come to you and receive guidance, comfort. We pray, Father, that we would remember that we can pray to you in any circumstance. Father, we thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we approach you. We're
thankful, Father, for your Spirit. Pray, Father, your Spirit would dwell in us and be active. We pray, Father, that we would be guided by your Spirit. Father, we have so many things to be thankful for. Thankful, Father, for your word. We pray, Father, that we would allow it to be a lamp unto our feet and that it would guide us and motivate us to do the things that we should and to refrain from doing those things that we should not do. Father, we acknowledge and confess that we are weak, and so often we fail you. And for that, Father, we pray that we would seek your guidance, that we would repent and seek your mercy. Father, we thank you for this time to be together. Thankful, Father, for the church here in this location and the church throughout the world. So, Father, we pray for our brethren and sisters throughout the world, recognizing that some of them face very difficult and challenging circumstances, oftentimes being challenged for their faith, and in other times, Father, challenged with the things of this life that trouble us. Father, we want to pray for all of those that are on our hearts and minds who are in need of blessings and comfort and guidance. We pray that we would find opportunity to be of service to them and help in any way that we can. Father, we pray for increased desire and fervor to be ministers of the grace of Jesus Christ. Pray, Father, that we would be mindful of those who are in need of salvation and those in need of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for our leadership here at Central. Thankful, Father, for our elders and their willingness to serve as overseers and to guide us. And we pray, Father, we would give them support. Likewise, thankful, Father, for our ministers here, for their preparation, for their diligence. Help us, Father, to give attention to today's lesson that we might be of greater value in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Father, in all things, we pray your will be done. Pray, Father, always knowing that your will is perfect and ours is not. Father, we pray for guidance and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh. Parents, if you plan to direct your children to children's training class, now would be the appropriate time to do that. Our scripture reading before Tim's lessons this morning is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, 2 through 7. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. God is so deserving of our worship and our praise. It is right for us to do it. It's right for us to come together on the Lord's Day to do it. It's right for us to do it every day of the week. He is always there, and we do well to give him that honor that he deserves. We're so glad that you have come to be with us this morning. It is good to be together on the Lord's Day, and we're glad that you're here. We have visitors with us, as we almost always do. Welcome. We're glad that you are here and hope that you'll come back and join us anytime that you can. If we can be of assistance in any way, please let us know. We would love to help if we're able to do that. And all of our regulars, we're glad that you are here as well. All of you online, welcome for joining us online as well. And it's just good to be together. And we hope you'll come back and join us this evening at 6 o'clock. Lord willing, we'll meet then and again talk about God's word. We're going to be looking at one more part of Peter's letters tonight, and that is in 2 Peter chapter 1. So go ahead and be reading 2 Peter chapter 1 in advance. We're going to be talking about the certainty of our faith. And that's an idea that should interest all of us. Can we have certainty when it comes to a matter of faith? And that's what Peter's discussion is all about. So I hope you'll come back and join us for that. And let's all use this as the Lord's Day. Every day is his day, but this one especially, a time for drawing closer to God. I always come a little bit pumped when I come from jail. I just got out of jail this morning. I meet about once a month with the ladies of the Unicoi County Jail for women, and this morning we had 12 that came out to join us for worship, and it's just an experience unlike any other. I love worshiping with you, and it is a very gratifying experience, but for them, you know, they almost always say thank you for coming, and I'm the one that should be thanking them because it's such an enthusiastic response. But I'm so thankful we're involved in the work at Unicoi County, Washington County, the prison up at Mountain City. What a blessing we've been given to have these opportunities. And so today we're going to focus on God. But before we get into our lesson, I've been asked to offer a prayer. on behalf of our brother Larry Reese. Larry, as you know, has been under treatments for cancer, and tomorrow morning early he's going to be having a PET scan, and we're hoping that will show that the treatments have had a really good effect, maybe even eradicating the cancer completely. And so we're going to be praying for Larry. Also want to mention that baby Caspian that we have been mentioning for prayers, the latest report is that things are looking really good, that he is almost all the way off of breathing support. Just a little bit now remains. His heart is working well. Things are just looking very good after a rough 3 or 4 days last week. And so we want to give God thanks and pray that he'll continue to give baby Caspian the help he needs. So let's go to God in prayer together. Father, you are so wonderful, so great, and you know our needs, Father, and you provide just what we need. You showed that with Jesus, the greatest gift of all. And Father, we can't ever thank you enough for Jesus in our lives, the hope he gives us, the forgiveness, the strength, the example. And Father, we pray that we'll always be found walking in his steps. And Father, right now we thank you for the gift of prayer, the ability to ask for things that we think we need. And right now, Lord, we pray that you'll be with our brother Larry tomorrow morning as he undergoes this PET scan. We pray that the results will be wonderful, that it will show that the treatments have had good effect. And Father, just bless him. You have blessed him, Lord. You've restored him to a much better place in his health. We pray that it will show tomorrow that things are continuing to go very well. And please continue to be with Caspian. Father, he's been all of his life in a hospital. Those 3 months have been always in a hospital. But now there is hope that he will be coming home before too much longer. Father, thank you for the improvement that he has seen. Bless him, Lord, that he may continue to be strengthened and thrive. Just bless the family. We know they've been so anxious about him. And Father, bless all of us. We all need you every day. Be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God. If you have a printed Bible, open it up. If you have an electronic one, fire it up. And let's get into God's Word and see what God has given us in his Word. It's been 20 years since the United States discontinued a program that was named Peacekeeper. Peacekeeper. And you might think, wow, we really need that. Why did the United States discontinue a program called Peacekeeper? Well, let me tell you more about that program. It was a missile system armed with nuclear warheads, about 20 warheads on each missile. And there were about 50 scattered around different places. And of course, it was during the days of the Cold War. It was when we thought there was a very real chance of nuclear warfare. And thankfully, things improved enough to where we thought, well, we can do away with that. But if that had had to be used, would that have been keeping the peace? It would have been a very peaceful place once the destruction had been accomplished. But that's not what we think of when we think about peace on Earth. But about 2,700 years ago, about 2,700 years ago, there was another kind of peace that was prophesied. It was just read to us in Isaiah chapter 9. And let's listen again to what John read to us in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. There Isaiah said, "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And maybe that last one is the one that we love the most. It's all referring to Jesus. We're very clear on that. And Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It goes on to say how that his peace would endure. It would go on. And yet as we look around the world, what happened? What happened to that peace? I mean, everywhere we look, and even in recent days, even more warfare has erupted. And a lot of people are on edge. A lot of people are thinking, wow, these promises are wonderful, but, you know, what do they mean? Do they mean anything? Because there is not that peace on earth that we wish was the case. Well, this morning I want us to look at that idea and realize that he is the Prince of Peace. And when we recognize some important concepts from the Word of God, there is peace like there never was before him. And it will always be because of him. So let's think about peace in a war-torn world. Can it be that even as wars rage and bombs fall and missiles are fired, there can still be peace? The Bible says yes, because of these three ideas. Number one, God is on his throne. God is on his throne. Now, before we get into what the Bible says on this, think back with me two or three years ago. I think it was September of 2022 when Queen Elizabeth died in England. She had served as monarch for 71 years. Now, I realize mostly it's a symbolic thing. You know, there's power in other places in England. But, you know, still, you saw the way England mourned her passing. And even we in America, you know, there was such great interest at all the pomp and ceremony. And we just, you know, we thought, wow, they were really attached to the Queen, weren't they? Yes, they were. And I'm sure many were thinking, what are we going to do now? I mean, the Queen has been around all of my lifetime, many of them would say. And now we don't have the Queen. What are we going to do? And it's that way with many monarchs or presidents or, you know, premiers, whatever the case may be, we attach our faith to people. And those people will ultimately go, as Queen Elizabeth did, as any of the others in the history of mankind. But this idea, this is what brings peace. God is still on his throne. We talked about it a little bit Wednesday night in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's just quickly remind ourselves what we said in the class that night. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, and the beginning of that verse says this, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, let's stop there and remember that Uzziah was a good king for the most part. He messed up toward the end of his life, and he paid the price for it. But for the most part, King Uzziah was a very good king, and he prospered. The kingdom of Israel prospered, Judah rather, as it was then, and enemies were pushed back. The borders were expanded. This is a good king. And yet, as Isaiah notes in that verse, in the year that he died. And so people are going to be wondering, what do we do now? This good king, we depended on him. We relied on him. And yet he goes on in that verse and says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Uzziah reigned 52 years, a very long time for a monarch of any kind in any place. And yet even when he's gone, when there's this void that people feel on earth, God is still on his throne. That's what Isaiah sees, and that is so important to know. Yes, people come and go, but God does not. He is still on his throne. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 1, we see a very similar situation. Habakkuk chapter 1, it is a time of greater turmoil. The kingdom of Judah has continued to decline. People are still going after idols. They're still treating one another unjustly. There's a lot of violence in the land. In fact, that's what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. And what he's saying there is, where are you? I mean, look at what's going on all around us, Lord. There's violence, there's crime, there's destruction. People are being used. Where are you, Lord? And then God responds. God responds to Habakkuk, and he says, I've got my plans made, and the Babylonians are coming in to take care of things. And Habakkuk says, in effect, what? What? They're even worse than we are, Lord. Why are you going to do that? And listen to what Habakkuk says in verse 13. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? And yes, things are bad in Judah, but they're nowhere near as bad as they are in Babylon, and you're sending them to take care of our problems? How do you deal with that? Well, here's what God says in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, and this is powerful advice even for today. God responds and saying in Habakkuk 2 verse 20, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. In other words, you may not understand my plans, God would say. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. And we see that over and over again in the Bible, don't we? People say, Lord, I don't get this. You're bringing these sufferings upon me. Job would say, I don't understand. And others would say, the Philistines are coming in. They're making life miserable for us. And yet God says the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. He just made an announcement to his apostles that was like a bombshell. He said, I'm leaving you. I'm going away. Now, he also tells them, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, but how do you deal with that? Well, listen to what Jesus said in John 14, beginning in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And what Jesus was saying in effect was, I will not be with you in person, physically present, but you'll have peace. And again, that was hard for them to understand. I mean, Lord, we've been following you for 3 years. We do this because you tell us, we do that because you tell us, and now you're just leaving us on our own? And Jesus said, I'm leaving you with peace. Peace unlike anything the world can give you. And there again, that's where we come in. We depend on that peace. Even though God is not visible to us, we don't hear his voice, but we know. We know he is on his throne. There is no doubt in our minds about that. And thus, we can have peace in a war-torn world. Isn't it true that we rob ourselves of peace by focusing in the wrong direction? And if we're one, the people that just constantly watch the news, I mean, that's what we watch a lot. Maybe not 24/7, but we watch it a lot. And what does that do to our peace of mind? It robs us of that. But instead, if we were to turn our attention upward and see that God is still on his throne, would that not help us achieve the peace that we so desire? I don't know how this is going to be handled. I don't know when the conflict will end. No, I don't know what it will ultimately lead to, but I know God is on his throne. I trust him. I can have peace. But let's look at a second concept in the Word of God that will give us peace even in a war-torn world, and that is that God still helps his people. God still helps his people. Now, the thing that we fear often is losing things we've depended on. You know, what will I do if I don't have my internet? What will I do if I don't have electricity? What will I do if I don't have my automobile to take me where I want to go? And sometimes it's trivial things, sometimes it's bigger things, but the fear of not having what we need, that's usually what frightens us the most. But that's where we need to stop and remember. God is still active. God is still helping his people. Turn with me now to Psalm 37. I want you to look at seven verses there in Psalm 37. Now, this is a very generic kind of statement, but it fits whatever situation we may be in. Psalm 37, we're going to begin in verse 1, and here's what he says. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Now, if you don't know what the word fret means, it means don't get all worked up. Don't worry. Don't be overly anxious. So he says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Now, a lot of that's just like what we talked about. God is still on his throne. But there's more. This adds another dimension, and that is God responds to our needs. Did you notice there in verse 4, the latter part of verse 4? Well, he says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. In verse 5, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. God will act. And then in verse 6, he will bring forth your righteousness as delight. You see, there's that personal connection. God sees what we're confronted with. He sees all of the wrongdoing in this world, and yet God responds. God still works for his people. Psalm 46 gives us a very similar idea to that. Psalm 46, and this is a much more familiar psalm, one that we hear fairly often. And here David, or rather the sons of Korah, made this statement. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And if we're not fearing, that means we're probably enjoying some peace. But there again, he says, God is our refuge. We go to him. We're sheltered by him. And it says also, he is our help. That's an active verb. He wants to be there for us. He wants to use his resources to help us in whatever ways are best for us. And so again, the question is, do we trust him? Do we really believe the Lord will do this? Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Here's what the Lord said on that occasion. He was talking about being the good shepherd. We love this analogy. I am the good shepherd, he said. In verse 9, he says, I am the door, meaning I am what separates you from the enemy. I lay myself at the door of the fold, and I keep you safe. But he goes on and says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. How are they going to find pasture? Because the shepherd is there. The shepherd is leading them to pasture. He's not just, you know, sitting back, okay, go find yourself something to eat. He leads us to where we can find that pasture. He says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And again, Jesus is active in our lives. The idea is, I will lead you where you need to go. I will provide for you. I will protect you. He's a very active shepherd. God is very active for his people. And it's true, the shepherd is in charge of keeping the sheep. And if we put ourselves in the care of that good shepherd, should we not just relax and say, I don't know how this world is going to go. I don't know what's going to become of this or that. But I do know I am in the care of the good shepherd. We sing a song occasionally, Living by Faith. Let me just read the words of it again and remind us what we sing. And maybe we don't think about it enough as we sing it. But he says, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord, I know, ruleth over everything. And all of my worry is vain. I know that he safely will carry me through no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Jesus, God, is active. Sometimes we forget that. We think, well, I'll pray and maybe something good will happen. Oh, God is there. He knows what our needs are. We can have peace knowing that God does good for his people when they need it. Here's a third idea about having peace in a war-torn world, and that is that God's peace will keep us focused. God's peace will keep us focused. You remember the folk tale we heard when we were growing up about Chicken Little? Chicken Little's the one that bang, something hit it on its head, and it starts running around. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, and gets a lot of people worked up. But it was just an acorn. It was just an acorn. And the idea is sometimes we get all worked up over things that are not really that significant. We lose our focus because we panic over things that are really not under our control anyway. And thus, the Bible confirms that. Go back for a moment to Psalm 37 and listen again to verse 3 and hear what it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't stop doing the good you can do just because things are panicky and I don't know what's going to happen and oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Stop. Calm down. The Lord has all of this under control. Maybe you're familiar with that phrase, keep calm and carry on. It actually was developed in 1939, I found, in Britain, because there was a great fear that the Nazis were going to begin bombing England and London in particular. In fact, that happened on a large scale for quite a long time. But in order to keep the people calm and to keep them from scattering and just forgetting about things, we got to keep doing, keep calm and carry on. That's essentially the message of the Bible. You know, there are things that are happening in our lives we don't like. Things happening in the world we'd rather not happen. But keep calm. Carry on. The Lord is still in power, and we still have work to do as his people. Here's what Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 says. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, what a promise. Listen to what it says. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's the key. We got to keep our mind on God. We can't let the world say, oh, you need to worry about this, panic over that, you know, just get anxious. I have no control over those things. I do have control over my focus. And that is on God. And he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then in verse 4, listen to this. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. Now, I wonder, did Isaiah think about the rock in the wilderness as he wrote that? You remember how Israel had come out of Egypt. And now there was no water. What do? We got to have water to live. And God said, Moses, take your rod and strike the rock. What good is that going to do? I will provide water. And that's the idea. God is an everlasting rock. He's there to provide for our thirst. He's there to provide protection, whatever the need may be. And notice what else it says. He is an everlasting rock, meaning it was true in Isaiah's day. It's still true today. God is our everlasting rock. And with that in mind, I don't give in to panic. I don't give in to fear and just say, well, what am I going to do? No, God is still there. And then take these ideas to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Here we've got Paul's description of the armor of God. We know that very well. You know, take all these different pieces of armor which represent this and that. You remember that. The one we don't talk about so much is in verse 15. He says in Ephesians 6:15, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. having put on the readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, what does that mean? Let me share something that I found in the Expositor's Bible commentary on this. What does readiness suggest? It signifies a prepared foundation. That is, the gospel of peace with God, through which believers have already been reconciled to God, affords them a sure foothold in the spiritual campaign in which they are engaged. In other words, if I am fighting this spiritual battle that Paul says we are, I need to have a strong foothold. If I lose my footing, I fall down, I'm easy prey for the enemy. I need to keep on standing. And so put on your feet the gospel of peace, the preparation, the readiness that comes as a result of the gospel of peace. Because, yeah, I'm facing a formidable enemy. I'm facing giants as I go into battle, but I know God is there for me. God will help me. I have peace like David did as he stood up against Goliath. And I say, I come to you in the name of the living God, the God of the host of Israel. And with that kind of peace, the battle can be won because God is on our side. Panic is a major complicating factor in times of emergency. You know that. You've seen or read about instances where a fire has broken out and people just panic, and it's not the fire that becomes the major problem. It's stampeding and people being crushed by people rushing toward the door and getting all jammed up. Panic. We can't do that. And thus we have fire drills to try to teach us. Here's what we do in this situation. Don't panic. Well, the same could be said about our spiritual warfare. Instead of giving in to the fear, the panic that comes about where we don't do what we should be doing, let's be calm and carry on, because there's still work to be done in the kingdom of God. Have you noticed many things in life are beyond our control? Have you noticed that? I mean, I can worry about them, but there's nothing I can do about them if I were to try to do something. That's a lot of what life is. That's why it's important to know the Prince of Peace. Because the Prince of Peace, he points us to the one who is in charge. He is in charge. He's the one that can do all things. He's the one that can give us the help we need when we help, when we need that help. He's the one that can keep us focused. So yeah, there's a lot of scary things going on in the world. There always has been. There always will be. But the Prince of Peace comes into the lives of those who will receive him, and he gives them that calm, that tranquility, and they are able to cope. They are able to carry on even during turbulent times. I'm wondering, are there any today that need to say, I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to join his army. And you can. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, enough that you're willing to turn away from anything he tells you is a sin, repenting of those sins. If you're willing to confess him before others and today put him on in baptism, you'll be joining forces with the God of all the earth. And if you've done that and yet you've not been faithful, it's time to come home. It's time to say, I've been sinning, I've been living the wrong way, I need God's forgiveness, which he will freely give if you're penitent and pray for that forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, please let it be known as we stand together and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.
Thank you.
seated, please. We say that we sing these songs to prepare us for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I hope you didn't wait till just now to get prepared. We need to keep these things in mind all the time.
Thank you.
If you haven't gotten the communion set, we have men in the back that is ready. Just raise your hand and we'll bring it to you. How beautiful is the reflection of the water behind us from the baptism? How beautiful is it that God has allowed us to come in contact with His Son's blood to be forgiven of our sins? And how beautiful it is that we get to share with our new brother this blessing and communion together. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 11. Starting in verse 23. And when I'm reading this, I want you to think about the past, the present, and then the future. And they're all tied in to this communion. In the present, you'll hear things like proclaim the Lord's death. That's what we're doing right now in the communion. The past, you'll hear about a memorial. Things like a remembrance of me. In the future, think of this covenant. And that's what we're looking for. We have it now, but we'll have it even more in the future. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray for the bread. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come to you to experience this. Lord, we were hopeless, and you rescued us. You sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, to come in contact with that blood and wash away our sins, sins that we couldn't wash away. There was nothing that we could do to get rid of those dirty sins. But you sent your Son to suffer, to live a perfect life, and to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for that. As we take this bread, let us remember that sacrifice and that life of Jesus. In his name, amen. Let's go to God for the cup. Wonderful Heavenly Father, you're so good for us. You've done so much for us, but just seeing how you care for us, how you care for others, how you care for people that can't do anything for you. And you are so good. And we want to be like you. Help us in our weakness, our misunderstandings, our distractions. Help us to live more like your Son, who gave us the perfect life. Help us to take this cup in remembrance of him and to do it in a manner pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. What a great opportunity we had to share the communion with each other and to go to God. Now, as convenient, let's also go to God and pray for the giving. May we, God, help us to live a life that shows and demonstrates our trust in him. Let's go to God. Heavenly Father, you've given us all that we have. What could we give to you? But it is yours to use as you choose. Help us to give of what we have and to do with what we have in a manner that pleases you, in a manner that just glorifies you in all that we do. Help us just to be that vessel that can be used to glorify you. Your purpose and your mission is always perfect. Help us to align ourselves with that and all of our resources with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful to you for this time that we've spent together as a body of your people worshiping you. We pray that our worship has been pleasing to you, that it has caused us to grow closer to each other, but most of all, closer to you, so we might be strengthened as we go out into the world. We pray that you will be with those that we're going to mention that are special needs of your prayers, that you will be with them. We pray for Seth and Robin, that you will strengthen them, give them courage to be more devoted to you each day of our lives. We pray for Adam as he begins his walk with you, that he may walk stronger, that he may be a great example to others of what a Christian man should be. Be with the world, be with the leaders of the world, that peaceful resolutions may be found and be found quickly so that there's not more loss of life. Go with us, guard us, protect us. We pray these things in Christ's name, amen. We have a number of announcements, so listen carefully. You're invited to a wedding of Bandy Tester and Steve Sides on Friday, March 27th, 2026 at 6:30 at this building. Invitation cards are in the lobby of the building. These can serve as RSVPs. Leave them on the table or lobby, or you can call or text Bandy. Bags of individually wrapped candy are needed for Central's Easter egg hunt, which is scheduled for Saturday, March 28th at the side porch from 10 to 12. Candy donated should be placed in the Welcome Center by March 22nd. Teens will be filling plastic eggs before class on Wednesday, March 25th. The Dad's Group, the Anchorman, will have a men's breakfast on Saturday, March 21st at 8 a.m. at the church building. During the breakfast, there will be a discussion of the first and two chapters of the book, The Anchorman. During the, we'll also stay connected through GroupMe and email chain. If you need a copy of the book, please contact Tim Haywood, Billy Miller, or Billy Buselmeyer. The Iglesias de Cristo is looking for monetary donations to buy supplies for this year's Smile Pack outreach program. From March through June, they will be accepting donations so that they can buy bilingual books, Bibles, T-shirts, backpacks, and school supplies. Any monetary donations will be welcome to help streamline the process and make this year's Smile Pack a wonderful success. These can be done through the normal giving processes. Transform Ladies Conference, TLC, registration is now open for the September 11th and 13th, 2026 program. The cost through March is $85. Group registration is required this year, so please let April or Georgianne know if you plan to attend. Make your payment to Central and indicate it is for TLC. If you have questions, contact April or Georgianne. 55 Plus Dinner is on March the 16th, this Monday at 5 p.m. Please sign the list on the announcements board if you can attend. We have these things in prayer. Caspian Morrow, three-month-old son of Aya and Christian Morrow, remains hospitalized at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital in Nashville following open-heart surgery last week. It is reported on Sunday morning that his condition has improved greatly, and they hope to remove all breathing support on Monday and is already off many of the pain medications. She sends their thanks for our prayers and asks that we continue praying for her son. W.C. Osbert is now at Princeton Transitional Rehab, room 503, where they hope to rebuild his strength so he can have his needed surgery. Misty Stone is recovering at home after falling last week and breaking both ankles. She will undergo surgery on March the 24th. Please play for a neighbor of Jan Bennett. Her name is Candy Crawford, and she is having issues managing her diabetes. She worships with us online. Let's pray that she will soon be able to get her diabetes under control and can visit with us here at Central. Also, we have an opportunity to serve. Occasionally, there are needs for those who've been recently incarcerated and are now out but do not have transportation, to have transportation to get to job interviews, jobs even. And we're starting a program whereby you can volunteer to help provide this transportation. Jim Carden has graciously agreed to be the point person for this. So if you can take time, let Jim know what times you may be available so that when these requests come in, we can coordinate it And again, it'll broaden our prison ministry, the help with people who are now trying to get their lives back together, get jobs, and rebuild their lives. If you're willing to do this, just be available at some point in time. Contact Jim, and hopefully this will